Stay tuned for a message from Facebook after the show.
So I was talking to a vaccine expert who said that, quote, if a vaccine isn't trusted, it's not going to be used. And if it's not used, it's not effective. And I think that that really gets at the crux of where we are right now. When we were discussing what President Trump has done in the past few days, whether it's convalescent plasma or pressuring the agency, this expert, John P. Moore, said, quote, he's completely missing the point. The point is that the FDA exists to give the public confidence that the product they're being asked to take is safe and effective. And that one really hit home for me because the FDA has to be trusted if it's going to answer these questions about whether a vaccine can be used and if the public is going to buy those decisions that they make, because it's going to be the most critical decision in this pandemic.
I'm Jeremy Siegel. This is Politico Dispatch, and today, Sarah Overmall on how the emergency use authorization for blood plasma as a coronavirus treatment could be a warning sign for a looming confidence crisis in the effectiveness of a vaccine.
What if you could save a life and squeeze in some quality me time while doing it? Thousands of people are catching up on reading, work, and simply relaxing while donating plasma, a life-saving ingredient used in biological drugs that saves and improves lives.
So convalescent plasma has been used for more than 100 years experimentally in a range of viruses. The idea behind it is that you take blood plasma from somebody who has recovered from an infection or virus, and you use the antibodies that they have produced that recognize the virus to infuse into a patient who is sick, the idea being that those antibodies can help that person's body recognize what it's supposed to be fighting and help them recover from the virus. There's been data to suggest that this helps in other viruses, but it's mixed as well. We aren't entirely sure how effective it is, and there isn't clear evidence yet that it's effective for coronavirus. What we do know is it's commonly understood to be safe to do this.
So over the weekend, President Trump and the FDA announced that the FDA is given plasma emergency use authorization for coronavirus.
That's such a powerful term, emergency use authorization for a treatment known as convalescent plasma.
This announcement came a day after Trump attacked the FDA for moving too slowly to back the treatment, claiming they were holding it up for political reasons ahead of the election. And this announcement's been met with a lot of skepticism and worry. But why exactly is that? Because you did say this is safe. I mean, why are people upset about it?
Well, it's about how the announcement happened. So an emergency use authorization is not an approval. It's saying that in these circumstances, we think this could help. Anybody who is hospitalized can receive this treatment. But an emergency use authorization is just that. It's for an emergency. It's not a full approval. So it's recognizing that the data are not completely there yet. And that's exactly what FDA did on Sunday. They said that this is not the new standard of care, that this could be helpful, but we don't have the evidence yet. The problem is that in the week before this emergency use authorization, there were reports that FDA was going to go forward with this before scientists from another department, the National Institutes of Health, Anthony Fauci and Francis Collins, said, look, we don't have enough data to say this is effective yet. We need more of that data. And we also have to keep in mind that hydroxychloroquine isn't that far back in the rearview mirror.
The FDA has approved a compassionate use for a significant number of patients. We have a drug called chloroquine. A derivation would be hydroxychloroquine.
People largely criticized that decision for being made on really, really thin evidence, and it has since been revoked. Hydroxychloroquine has been debunked as a treatment to prevent or treat the coronavirus.
You've been reporting on the race for a COVID vaccine since the start of the pandemic. Does this situation give us any glimpse into how the FDA, how the Trump administration could treat the release of a vaccine? Like, do you think the FDA could authorize a vaccine that, say, doesn't work or we don't know if it works, like we don't know if blood plasma works?
That's exactly what people are worried about. And so they look at what happened on Sunday and also Trump's public comments in the days leading up to the Sunday emergency use authorization, where he accused the FDA of slow walking treatments and of stalling progress because some people didn't want to see him win on November 3rd. We look at all of that context and people say he's openly pressuring the agency to make these decisions. How does that set us up for a vaccine? And it's worth noting that there are a lot of systems in place for reviewing vaccine data, and pharmaceutical companies themselves are trying to counteract that very narrative. So are career FDA officials. People like Peter Marks, who oversees the vaccine division, are saying, look, I will leave my job if it comes to rubber stamping a vaccine. But it's about the public perception. So when you have the president criticizing the agency or seemingly hasty decisions being made around something like plasma, people are concerned that when a vaccine is available, even if it is safe and effective, that public confidence has been shattered. And so we need at least 60 to 70% of the population to get a vaccine in order to achieve any sort of semblance of herd immunity. But we're not going to be able to get that done if people look at a shot, especially a shot that happens, say, right before the election and say, I don't trust it.
What do you think the FDA can do to instill or keep that trust from the public?
That's something that is really being discussed right now within the FDA, as I understand it, and also among former commissioners and public health experts. What has happened is that FDA Commissioner Stephen Hahn, who assumed the role in December, so really just a month before this whole pandemic started to hit U.S. shores, he has ramped up communications lately, primarily in medical journals, to assure the medical community that the right steps are being taken and that they're going to transparently review vaccines.
We will not cut corners. We will use our very high standards of safety and effectiveness. We'll look at those data and we'll make a determination based upon those high standards.
The problem is that most of the American public doesn't read those outlets. And so it's about engaging with the public and saying that though we have sped up vaccine development a certain amount, which we have, we're not cutting off the things that are really going to matter to determine whether it's safe and effective. The problem just comes back to whether in October the president wants to declare an early victory on a vaccine when all data suggests that it's going to take a little bit longer to get definitive answers on whether something works.
I think most people expect a separation of science and politics for something like this. Is there a person or like a body within the FDA or another agency that could put the hammer down if it did get to that point in October where things are being pushed that they don't know if it works? Like, is there someone or something that could say, this ends here, we're not doing this? Or do you think the plasma situation shows us that that isn't the case?
That's an interesting question because there certainly are people who would throw that riot. I mentioned Peter Marks earlier, who oversees the vaccine division. In terms of a body that could throw the hammer down, though, there isn't really technically one that could stall this. There is something called an advisory committee, which is an expert panel that the FDA has promised to convene in October. And that's a bunch of people who are vaccine experts, scientists, public health experts, who come together in a public meeting that anyone can watch to discuss the data that is available. The problem is the advisory committee can and does vote on what they believe should happen, like, say, a vaccine getting approved. But the FDA does not have to follow their advice. They just generally do follow their advice because this is a group of experts. But obviously, we're in unprecedented territory right now. And so that's exactly what people worry about. And a lot of scientists have been writing to the FDA saying, we would really like you to lay out exactly how you're going to ensure this doesn't happen. I would say one other thing is that the FDA, in trying to quell these fears, this summer released guidance saying, here is the bar that we expect a vaccine to hit if we're going to approve it. The bar that they set was that it has to be at least 50% effective. And some people think, what, 50%? That's it? Like, I'm not going to get a vaccine that is 50% effective. But if you think about it, you know, you get half of the population, say it helps with people who are severely ill. That's enough progress until we get a better vaccine. So there are dozens of vaccines in the pipeline right now. All probability that the first one won't be the best one, but it's still going to be enough for, say, high-risk populations or people who work in a healthcare setting or in a food setting who really need something to at least minimize their risk.
Given everything we know right now, if the requirements that are in place that you just outlined are met in October or even earlier, we get a vaccine super quickly. Do you take it?
It's funny that you ask that question because I was on a call today with a vaccine expert who asked me that very question. He said, you know, if there was a vaccine ready on an emergency use authorization, would you take it? And I had to sit and think about it for a second because I think that if we get to October and the variables are there that we've seen this past week where the president is openly pressuring the agency or saying that scientists are trying to slow walk progress, I'm not going to be super confident myself. And that's someone who knows how this works and knows how to read the data. I think that this is a situation that a lot of people are going to be in then. And I was talking actually to former FDA Commissioner Mark McClellan the other day, and he said we could be in a totally unprecedented scenario where people say, I see the first vaccine, and nah, I'm going to wait. And that really could be what happens this fall.
Sarah Overmall, thanks so much for talking with me.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Also today, scientists at the University of Hong Kong claim to have the first evidence of someone being reinfected with coronavirus. The researchers report that genetic tests show a 33-year-old man returning to Hong Kong from a trip to Spain in mid-August had a different strain of the virus than the one he'd previously been infected with in March. They say the man had mild symptoms the first time and none the second time, but his more recent infection was detected through screening and testing at the Hong Kong airport. The paper has been accepted by the journal Clinical Infectious Diseases, but isn't published yet, and some experts are urging caution until full results are available. Whether people who've contracted coronavirus are immune to new infections and for how long could have major implications for lifting restrictions aimed at curbing the spread of the virus and the development of a vaccine. And a judge in Florida has ruled that the state's policy requiring schools to open by the end of the month is unconstitutional, in a move that marks a huge blow to Governor Ron DeSantis's administration and a big win for teachers. A state circuit court judge agreed with complaints in a lawsuit filed by the Florida Education Association, writing that the state's push to offer in-person classes disregards safety and denies the authority of local school boards. The state is expected to appeal the decision, which voids the Department of Education's rule requiring school districts to submit reopening plans to secure state funding. The ruling comes as some schools in the U.S. that opened their doors recently have seen spikes in COVID cases, and several colleges canceled in-person classes due to surges in infections. Subscribe to Politico Dispatch wherever you get your podcasts. And to stay up on all of our latest coverage of the coronavirus pandemic, sign up for the Politico Nightly Newsletter and Politico Pulse, which comes to your inbox every morning. You can sign up for both at politico.com/newsletters. I'm Jeremy Siegel. Thanks for listening.
In preparation for the U.S. elections, we've taken critical steps at Facebook to secure our platforms and provide transparency. We've more than tripled our safety and security teams to 35,000 people, implemented five-step ad verification, and launched a new voting information center. Learn more at how we're preparing at fb.com/about/elections. That's fb.com/about/elections.